Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. We are now talking today here in the cafe to Dirk Wales. He is here as part of the KSFR Fun Drive and has written three wonderful books for children of all ages. One of them in particular, Jack London's Dog, is for children of all ages. And there's another book called Penny House and another one called A Lucky Dog, Oni the U.S. Rail Mail Mascot. All terrific books. All will be yours if you make a contribution to the KSFR Fun Drive. I can hear the Dal Dermot
is... bet you've already read A Lucky Dog twice.
Chomping at the bit.
Yes, I am. I got some thank yous for you this morning. Mary Parseka, Mary, thanks so much for your call a moment ago. And Jim Beverwick. Jim, thank you very much for your call. They love the BBC. And Amy Goodman and Mouth of Wonder. And also one more, Bazia Miller. Bazia, thank you very much for your call. Bazia Miller.
Yeah.
Okay. Bazia, thank you for your call this morning. And Mary Charlotte will be here to let you know from time to time who to thank during the Radio Cafe.
So, Dal Dermot, thank you so much. And the reason we are thanking people is because those people have made a contribution to KSFR by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. I've been told more than once that I talk too fast, trying to give the number slowly. And I would like to ask every single person who is listening right now to make a contribution of any size. It doesn't make a difference whether it's $10 or $1,000. What makes a difference is that you say, I listen to public radio and I am willing to make a contribution. Not only that, but I joyfully make a contribution because I like what I hear. There are so many people who are completely willing to pay $10 to go to a movie or pay $3 or $4 or $5 on a fairly regular basis to go rent a movie, and you see that movie and it's done, and it's a wonderful thing maybe, and you carry it with you. KSFR is with you every single day, and I know for a fact that many of you listen to it every single day, or you listen to it every single weekday on your way to school, and you want to make a contribution, or you want to keep it going, but you're not really sure about what this making a contribution thing is. Let me tell you, it's very easy. It's the equivalent of passing around the plate at church. Maybe some of you are church-going people, maybe not, but they do this thing where they pass around this basket, and everybody puts a couple of bucks in, and people notice whether you put it in or not. From here, we can't tell whether you're listening or not, so it really becomes the honor system. You can give us a call, 428-1393, and if you listen, if you are an adult of any age and you listen to this show, just give a call, 428-1393. We have this wonderful new thing where you can make a monthly contribution that comes out automatically, so we don't have to keep processing it, you don't have to keep making it, and you can put $10 or $15 or $20 out of your monthly expenses. It happens without any effort, and that is something we're really encouraging this fund drive, because it makes it so much easier for you and for us, and it symbolizes the ongoing commitment of our listeners to KSFR. I said adults. Now, we've had young people who have also pledged to KSFR, some wonderful young friends who have brought in their allowance. If you are, for example, on your way to school with your parents in the car, here's what you could say to your parents. Mom, Dad, pull over right now. I don't care if I'm a moment late for school, and call KSFR to make a pledge. 428-1393. 428-1393 is the number. And the toll-free number is 1-866-907-5737. 866-907-KSFR. That's the number. And Dirk Wales is joining me here, chuckling in the background as we talk about young people and contributions.
And passing the basket.
And you have written these wonderful children's books, every single one of which features a dog. So this is, of course, a man and a set of books after my own heart. A Lucky Dog, Oni the U.S. Rail Mail Oni U.S. Rail Mail mascot, let's get the title right, with incredibly beautiful illustrations by Diane Kenna. And it's just a terrific story. And the illustrations are the kind of illustrations that you sometimes see in Canadian animation, you know, that beautiful hand-drawn...
The Canadian Film Board.
The Canadian Film
Board.
Led
North America in producing animation in the 70s and 80s.
And it's some of the best animation ever, subsidized by that wonderful country, Canada. And then Penny House, which is it's not a sequel, but it has a really good dog in it named Pup. And then Jack London's dog, which we've talked about before on the show, which we'll talk about again. How did you get into writing children's books? Did you love children's books when you were a little kid?
Well, here's the anomaly, Mary Charlotte. When I was a kid, I never had books, and people didn't read to me. It wasn't until I became an adult that I got into kids' books. And the funny thing about it is that we just talked about the Canadian Film Board and animation. I'm a writer-director for a film company, and so we decided that we were going to make children's animated films for schools and libraries all over the United States. And I didn't have any sense of children's books, so one of our advisory council members said, you should be making a book out of Howard by James Stevenson. So I sent somebody down to Stuart Brent's bookstore and got a copy of Howard, and we said, well, this looks like fun. It's about a duck who misses his flight south for the winter and ends up in New York City and makes new friends.
Aww.
A frog and somebody else whose animation doesn't come to mind. And suddenly I was into children's books, and I one of my early heroes was Chris Van Allsburg, who won two or three Calicut Honor Medals, and we made a film of his book, an animated film of his book, Ben's Dream, which was one of his early books before he got to the very famous The Polar Express, which everybody knows and loves, and was made into a film. So these people were my heroes and inspiration to get into children's books and buy them for myself.
And so as an adult, you started reading children's books.
That's right.
Did you know that you were going to write them yourself?
Of course not. Of course not. I was writing documentary films and medical education films and films for museums. Actually, I still have 9 videos playing in the brain exhibit of the Museum of Science and Industry in Chicago.
That's
Imagine
great.
That. By the way, the last person in the world who should be making science films is me. I failed biology at Stanford. What are you going to do?
Oh, you can get people to advise you on the technical things, I suppose.
Never make a film in an operating room without a doctor standing on each side of you.
Did you make a film in an operating room?
More than 100.
Really?
Really. But we're getting away from children's books
yes.
here, and I have a feeling our audience may not be interested in what goes on in operating rooms. Most people are kind of scared about all that.
So... your first book was...
A Lucky Dog.
A Lucky Dog. And this is... I fell in love with this dog who was born sometime in the 1880s, but it's a real dog.
Right.
This
it's a
lucky
real
dog.
Dog. And I need to tell you a little bit about this because the book explains the dog's life in its totality. He, on a cold December night in 1887, the dog walks into an open back door at the post office of Albany, New York, and is allowed to stay and live there for 9 years. He's allowed to go anywhere the mail wagons and the mail trains go. So, in the end, he does, and this is the message of the book for the kids, some moment in your life, you'll have a chance to jump on the train and change your life. And the dog saw his chance to jump from the mail wagon to the mail train and change his life. 142 miles to Albany, New York, to New York City from Albany, and then 142 miles back from New York City to Albany. And now he can go anywhere he wants.
Now, how did this dog not get lost? Did he have people looking after him?
The theory is that he was named after Owen, who was the fellow at the post office who took the most care of him.
The dog is called Oni.
Oni, for Owen's dog.
Right.
So... And, you know, it's interesting that you should say, how does all this work? Because when a fellow writes a book like this, he's invited to talk to kids at schools and libraries. And my good luck was that as a child, I traveled all over the United States on trains across the country, and then a lot in the West. So I know how the trains worked. I know how people move from place to place, and I know that if you pull into the train at Laramie, Wyoming, you get off the train, you walk through the train station. In front of the train station is the main street of the town. You walk across the main street of the town, and there's the hotel, Wyoming. And that's how it works.
So wherever it is, if you're a dog, you get off the train, you go to the hotel, you go to the kitchen in the back, you say, hey, you got some scraps? And they say, yes, we do. And then you get back on the train.
Well, the book has done so well. The publisher tells me that we've sold between 23 and 24,000 copies of A Lucky Dog. So she's saying to me, okay, Dirk, let's have Lucky Dog 2. So I have, from my travels around the country telling stories about the dog, I have created the further adventures of A Lucky Dog. And we are going to premiere this book at the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, the National Postal Museum, on the 10th of August. And we're very excited because we have everything now in place to get the book done in time. And the book is comprised of the stories that I have. Well, it's fiction and I made them up, but they're based on the dog's life. For instance, you open the book, there's a map of the United States. There are red dots all over the map where the dog went.
But that part is true.
That part is true. One other thing that's important to the new book that's true is that Chicago had six train stations in the 1890s. So if the dog comes in on the New York Central to Grand Central Station in Chicago and then transfers on a mail wagon to Union Station and goes out to the west, the dog does this all by himself, and there isn't anybody who can authenticate how the dog moves from place to place. So,
did you ever think it was a human in a dog's body?
No.
That's what never. It feels like.
Well, it's never felt that to me because the dog is the dog, and in a way, I'm the dog.
Ah, right.
So,
maybe you're the dog in the human body.
Woof. Woof, woof. It's a shame it's not television, folks. You could watch this guy turn into a dog right in front of your eyes.
We're talking to Dirk Wales, the author of A Lucky Dog, and Further Adventures of a Lucky Dog hasn't come out yet, and Penny House and Jack London's Dog. All of these books can be yours if you call 428-1393. 428-1393 is the number, and you can get any one of these dogs or more. You can get several of them. Maybe you can work out a deal with the person on the phone. I don't know if we have a package for several of the books, but anyway, they're all absolutely terrific, and it's a way to support the KSFR fund drive and have a little bit more doggage in your life. If you make a contribution of a mere $10 a month, and that will just be automatically credited to KSFR monthly, you don't have to work up, you don't have to even think about it anymore, you will get a copy of this. If you make a contribution of $15 a month, you can probably get both books, and if you make 20, you can get all three books, ladies and gentlemen, and they really are terrific. I have to say, the illustrations, how did you, Dirk Wales, find the right artist to do these beautiful, hand-drawn, really sensitive, simple, wonderful drawings? There's so much movement in them. I'm looking right now at one of the dog clambering onto the train that has mailbags inside, and it has such that movement of when a dog can't quite get up into a thing and it has to jump again. How did you find the artist?
And by the way, you picked the story that's the transition in the dog's life. He goes from the mail wagon to the mail train, and now he can go anywhere he wants, and his life is changed. But to answer your question, I told you that I was a writer and a director for a film company, and we had an animator. And Diane Kenna said she always wanted to illustrate a children's book. Well, she's an animator, so that means that she's an artist. By the way, this is before, this is when we're doing cell animation rather than all this stuff on the computer.
Right.
So people have to be real artists.
Cell animation is an amazing thing. There are these pieces of clear plastic, and you draw, what, 30 of them per
24
second?
24 frames a second.
24 frames per second. So you draw 24 on 24 pieces of plastic.
And then
for
you put it on an animation camera and you make it move.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Well, it doesn't surprise me that this artist is an animator because there's so much motion in it. It was probably an interesting challenge for her.
But isn't that the point?
Yeah.
There's motion because she's an animator and she makes the dog move right in front of your eyes.
Real, it's so true. And it's a book about a very active, moving dog.
Right.
Speaking of animation.
Yes.
We really want to get the phone room animated in the next few minutes. We do have one thank you. Andrew Potter of Santa Fe loves it all. It's
thank
great
you.
On the way to work and
yay.
Great on the way home. I guess he must work a very short day if he's talking about your show.
I think he's thinking about the journey home and the BBC and Democracy Now and
all
Robin
other great
Young.
Things, yeah.
And all these other great things in the morning.
Andrew, thank
in the
you
afternoon.
Very much.
Thank you, Andrew. Ladies and gentlemen,
yes.
Make that call now.
Please do.
If you have kids, if you are a kid, pull on your parents' sleeve right now and have them call 428-1393, 428-1393, and make a contribution of, as we've been asking for, a mere $10, $15, or $20 per month. And it will keep KSFR going. It really makes a difference. You think that your little contribution can't make that much of a difference. It can and it does. It is so much like voting. It is so much like going for either the school board election or the presidential election or whatever it is and casting that vote for KSFR.
You know, we've always said that even if we had some benefactor who gave us all the money in order to make the goal for the fund drive, we would still have a fund drive because it's so important for everybody in the community to partake, to be part of, to be members of the family here at KSFR. We have about 5,000 people who contribute on a regular basis during these on-air fund drives, and that is just wonderful.
That's wonderful.
I don't have any complaint at all about somebody who just gives $5 or $10 or whatever they can really afford. The most important thing is that they're part of something. And they're part of something really important these days. Public radio here in Santa Fe is just too important not to be here. And we'll always be here with your help.
One of the things I was thinking about, I don't know how many people who are listening now watch The Daily Show, but The Daily Show is a terrific night comedy talk show that happens in the evenings. Jon Stewart is the host. He gives a monologue. And one of the things he's done in the last few weeks is absolutely rip apart the faulty media coverage of the economic situation that we're in now. And he does it with so much humor and so much intelligence that I'm thinking that, you know, that is what it's all about. He's actually got it right. But what he's really talking about is that the mainstream and commercial media aren't doing it. So you can rip them apart, but what do you listen to instead? Where do you get your actual information on the economic situation that we're in now? On war going on in other countries, on everything, even the weather, the local weather that we have on KSFR, local news that we have on KSFR, cultural events that are happening. You don't, in the mainstream, have dumbed it down so badly or even just gotten it dead wrong. You have to turn to other sources. And public radio has always been here, but I think it's being more and more appreciated as the world gets more and more crazy and commercial. We are here, and it is kind of an oasis of, I think, calm, thoughtfulness, intelligence, and, you know, I would even go so far as to say truth in this crazy world. If you want to have that, and you want to have it without the commercialism, it is precisely the lack of commercials that are requiring me to take this break right now from talking to Dirk Wales and implore you to get on your telephone and call 428-1393, 428-1393, and talk to the wonderful telephone volunteers. If you make a contribution of $20 a month, and they will tell you how you do that, it's very easy. It happens as an automatic thing, bureaucratically. Very simple to do, very safe to do, not a problem. I've been doing it with various organizations, including public radio, for many, many years, and I'm very satisfied because it is really a contribution and a commitment when you do an ongoing contribution like that to KSFR, to public radio, to the organizations that you care about. If you make a contribution of $20 a month, you get, ladies and gentlemen, all three books. So, 428-1393 is the number. Dirk Wales, do you have anything to say about public radio?
Well, yes, I do have something to say about public radio, and I think that in my thought process of coming here to talk to you, Mary Charlotte, that I realize that public radio and me are the same things. We are storytellers.
Right.
I am a storyteller, and I'm with people, and I tell a story, or I write a book that tells a story when I don't have to be there. And public radio is a storytelling medium of people like you who talk about things that matter around the campfire to all the people in your area. So I think that, I mean, I'm really grateful that there are people like you and public radio out there to be able to tell stories and to relate to people at their level.
And what I have found is that if you choose, as I have chosen, not to ever dumb anything down, not to ever talk down to people, but to really try to meet my guest where they are, at their level of accomplishment and intelligence and ability to really speak about what they do, everybody gets it. Everybody gets it.
Well, it's what's really interesting to me is to hear you contrast yourself with mainstream media. And, of course, all of us who write books and who listen to NPR and who try to think for ourselves understand that mainstream media is part of the problem. They're exaggerating. They're finding all the negative stories. They're pushing the wrong buttons and the wrong agenda. And they're frightening people. What we need is unadulterated truth presented to us in a very straightforward fashion. And the mainstream media aren't doing that. They're sensationalizing everything. And what could be better than negative news?
Exactly. Well, what could be better than negative news is properly analyzed news.
Exactly.
And what could be better than Dirk Wales' storybooks? Not much.
Well, that's kind of you to say. We are talking about books for children for all ages, and what I learned with A Lucky Dog was that the book appeals as much to adults as it does to children. So we have the next book, which is Penny House. Alfred C. Dunphy wakes up on the morning of his 100th birthday and says to his dog, Pup, Pup? I think it's time to make some changes. You're only 100 once.
That is so very true.
The book goes through. How old are you, Mary Charlotte?
Oh,
make up a number.
I don't even know anymore.
23.
Oh,
Mary
sure.
Charlotte is 23, and she writes down, I'll only be 23 once. So the book follows what Alfred C. Dunphy does on his birthday week. And he makes a lot of changes. Give me the book here and let me read to you. He's getting rid of his collections. He gets rid of his book collection. He gives it to the library. He gets rid of his hat collection. He gets rid of his license plate collection by nailing it onto his roof. And at the middle of the book, after he gives away his hat collection, Mr. Dunphy and Rover woke on Wednesday to some new ideas. Mr. D felt that he was only partway through the changes in his life. You know, Rover, he said, by the way, when they gave the book collection away, Mr. D said to Rover, you know, no dog that's 91 years old should have a name like Pup. So they gave Pup the name Rover from the Rover Boys, and this is his transformation in the book from Pup to Rover. You know, Rover, there's good sense in not having things one doesn't need. I'll bet that you can see we really have too much, Rover barked in agreement. I can see now that the things that I own really own me rather than them belonging to me. So let's get started. We're going to create another mountain of stuff that we don't need today. You know, I was terrified when this book came out because I realized finally that I had written an anti-materialism book.
What's wrong with that?
There isn't anything wrong with that, but it's not really in sync with our culture.
Sure it is. Well, that's what he gets rid of all his collections, much to the snooty neighbor's chagrin, because he puts them out on the lawn. But
you don't mean Mr. and Mrs. Up and Over.
Mr. and Mrs. Up and Over is their name. But I think it shows the dark side of part of our materialist culture is that we collect so much stuff. But one of the wonderful things that Mr. Dunphy has and his dog Pup is a penny collection. And he decides that he's going to glue the pennies one by one to the outside of the house and ends up having the most beautiful house in the whole neighborhood.
Penny House.
Penny House. That's the name of the book. And Penny House, of course, is also a metaphor for giving to the KSFR fund drive, because everybody puts in a couple of pennies and we get through it. We come to you a couple of times a year, that's it, and ask you to make a contribution, and we stay on the air until everybody has contributed and we have enough to go on for another 6 months.
Now, Mary Charlotte, is it true that you are going to allow your listeners to bring their pennies to the radio station building and glue them on the building to create penny radio?
I don't know the answer to that, because the building is the Santa Fe Community College, which is where KSFR is housed. And I'm sure there's all sorts of laws that have been passed in the legislature that says, thou shalt not glue pennies to the outside of the building because it's a weather hazard.
I think we've got a new idea here. Why don't we start every night at about 1 o'clock in the morning and glue all the pennies we can until 6. And then at some point along the way, the building will suddenly be covered by pennies and we'll have a new icon in Santa Fe.
Penny House. So this is a book about this wonderful old man and his dog, and illustrated by the same terrific artist, Diane Kenna. Not quite as much motion, although it still has that kind of animated feeling, because it's about a guy who has stayed put in his house for an awfully long time. But still, what was the inspiration for you to write this book?
Well, my thought was originally that I wanted to write a book that would be enclosed in the kind of packaging that after you read the book, you could pull the packaging apart and reassemble it as either a piggy bank or a birdhouse, and you would put your pennies into it. And after enough publishers told me that I was crazy and that would cost too much, and why didn't I just make this into a regular book? I had to give up and make it into a regular book. So there is no actual penny house. You have to create that in your mind, but we have this lovely two-page illustration with the moon shining on the pennies, and it's Penny House. And what's amazing to me is that the age, and by the way, we got an award, what they call a multi-generational award from Mom's Choice, the Mom's Choice Foundation, and they are saying that the publisher is wrong, that the age range for this book is not 8 to 12 or 13. The age range for the book is 9 to 100.
Ah, yes.
And what I learned...
But that's fair. That's unfair to the people who are over 100.
Mary Charlotte, you don't mean that life isn't fair. Don't tell me that. I can't
No,
stand
keep
it.
Going.
But the notion here, I discovered that this is the perfect birthday gift for anybody 60 and over. And so I would say that to my friends who are looking for birthday gifts for folks, and they would do that, and they would call me up and say, Dirk, they just loved your book. They get the whole idea. They love it. And I got them to write on the title page where you left a blank, remember, I'm only 61 once.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want a copy of this book, just call us right now, 428-1393, 428-1393 in the area code 505. And if you would like all three, you know what? I made a mistake. If you want one copy of the book, just make a contribution of $10 a month to KSFR. But if you would like all three, all you have to make is a contribution of $15 a month to KSFR. Go ahead and tell our wonderful phone volunteers, 428-1393, 1-866-1393. 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And that is the number for if you are calling from out of area. It's a free call for you. If you're calling from your cell phone, just drive safely or use your hands-free headset or whatever, but please do give a call. It's a little slow today, and I'm trying not to take it personally, but I have had the experience many times of people coming up to me and saying, I listen to your show every day. It really is what I do every morning, and I love the variety that you have on this show. Well, if you are one of those people, whether you've actually said it to me in person or not, I would like you to give a call and just tell us that. Tell the phone volunteers, I listen to the Radio Cafe every day, and here's why, and here's my contribution, $10 a month, or $15, or $20, or a one-time contribution, because I like to pledge every single fund drive. Whatever is best for you, go ahead and do that. 428-1393 is the number. Dirk Wales, you have written a wonderful book, which we've talked about on the show last year, called Jack London's Dog. How did you get interested in Jack London? I mean, we have established that you're interested in dogs.
Right. Even though I have a white cat.
You have a white cat?
Yes.
How could you betray the world of dogs thus?
Well, the white cat thinks he's really a dog who was sprang free from one of Jack London's books called White Fang.
Ah, I've met cats who think they're dogs. They'll chase ping pong balls.
Well, I mean, it's just like people who think they're gods or wolves or whatever.
Or dogs.
Or dogs, exactly. Well, you know, it's interesting that you should ask how I got interested in Jack London, because on January 10th of this year, because of this book, I was invited to give the birthday speech at Jack London's birthday party in Jack London Square in Oakland, California.
And now, he was a Californian.
He grew up in Oakland. He was a Californian. And in 1897, he went to the gold rush in the Yukon to hunt for gold with two companions. Now, I know a lot about Jack London. I've read his books, all those kind of things. And I wanted to make a speech that was worthy of him for his birthday party. He was 123 on the 10th of January this year. And so the notion for the speech was that Jack London is one of my heroes. Now, I have heroes. I have many heroes. My artistic hero is Joseph Cornell. My writing hero is Edward Albee, the playwright, and Graham Greene, the English novelist. I've had a lot of motion picture director heroes. By the way, if any of you live in Santa Fe, the Film Center over there is playing a film about the Warner Brothers and how they created their movie studios. One of the most interesting documentaries.
Oh, the Brothers Warner.
The Brothers Warner.
That played during the film festival. That's supposed to be a great movie.
It is a great movie. See it. So I'm interested in heroes. And so Jack London was one of my heroes. And I know automatically that a hero inspires me to be a better person, to be a smarter, more creative, more, you know, whatever I want to be, more of something. I'm trying to reach my creative potential. So London helps me do this. So I have my speech ready. I'm in San Francisco with friends. And at 11 o'clock the night before I give the speech, I get up and I rewrite the speech, adding one word to heroes, inspiration, and what is the third word, Mary Charlotte?
Transformation.
Transformation. She and I talked about this before.
We planned this show.
Yeah, right. So, transformation. So, and what I learned from this whole situation, from giving the speech, is that I love Call of the Wild. And if I'm traveling around the country and I'm feeling a little low and I want to perk myself up, I go into a bookstore. You can go into any bookstore in the United States and buy a copy of Call of the Wild off the shelf. That is to say, 105 years later, after this book has been published, it's still out there in a half a dozen versions. By the way, Mary Charlotte borrowed mine, which was published by Simon & Schuster, illustrated by Barry Mosier, who also illustrated my book, Jack London's Dog,
which can be yours, ladies and gentlemen. It's such a great book. The illustrations are absolutely superb. black and white illustrations that are very fitting
etchings.
To this right to this northern Arctic snowy theme.
All right, now let's not miss this small point that if I'm somewhere and I'm feeling a little low, I walk into a bookstore, I get a copy of Call of the Wild, I sit down in the chair in the back, and I turn to the middle of the book where John Thornton saves Buck from the three Easterners who are beating all their dogs to death.
Buck the dog.
Buck the dog, that's right. And so we all want to be saved. John Thornton saves Buck. And this makes me just feel so good. I read 15 or 20 pages. I'm back up. I put the book on the shelf, and I go out and do, you know, conquer the world once again.
Is that right? Isn't that amazing?
Call of the Wild is a book about transformation. A dog is stolen from a ranch in Santa Clara, California, transferred to the Yukon, sold into dog slavery. The dog works his way through that, finally saved by John Thornton. Thornton and he, you know, do wonderful things together. Thornton dies, and the dog becomes a spirit in the North Country. Spiritual transformation of a dog. No wonder the book is read by everybody. And people may not understand it any more than just a great story about a dog who survives. Well, everybody wants to survive, but most of us want to transform ourselves into creative spirits or loving spirits or parental spirits or, you know, whatever. By the way, we don't subscribe to the notion that the reason you get better educated is to learn all the answers to the quiz they're going to give on Friday
right.
and to learn enough to get a job. We're trying to reach our creative potential.
I think this theme of transformation in Call of the Wild, it speaks to something that we all have within us, which is a domesticated side and a wild side. And dogs have that, and every living creature has that, and we are as domesticated as our dogs. And then we have this other thing within us, especially when we are in the great outdoors and don't see signs of human life so much.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, you'll need to know that the first question that anybody asks a writer is, where do you get your ideas? Mary Charlotte has just enunciated the idea of the person who is part regular person and part spiritual nature. And we're going to write a story, she and I, about how one person is working with both sides of their nature to come to the perfect point of either balance or creative spiritness. Thanks, Mary Charlotte. That's a great idea for a new book.
I do like your wild side. Yeah, I've got a couple of thank yous, Mary Charlotte.
Yay!
Donna McWilliams, who got
thank
the
you.
Book, The Lucky Dog.
Yay!
Yes!
Yay!
We've got five copies of each book, ladies and gentlemen, so snap them up while they're hot.
There's still time. And by the way, Donna is one of the first to use our new debit from your checking account plan, which makes it so much easier to give an amount each month with no hassle on your part. And we encourage that now. The other thank you I wanted to mention was Lori Lieberman.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you so much. Loves the Radio Cafe. I think we knew that.
428-1393, by the way, is how they called in. And so can you if you haven't called in yet. 428-1393. Well, thank you, ladies. Let's keep the phones ringing, because we need to get this fun drive over with. And it takes...
You need to give your cell phones to your pets so they can call in, too, because... Think how many dogs in northern New Mexico want to contribute to public radio, and maybe they can talk their owners into sparing a few dollars instead of buying a cat toys.
That is so very true. 428-1393. I've been looking at the website dogswholooklikepeople.com or something along those lines, and the question of dogs being actually fully domesticated gets a little scary sometimes. But Dirk Wales is with us. We have these three books. So Jack London's Dog, you were inspired by Jack London.
I was inspired by Jack London, and the second part of the inspiration that creates the book is being with a man who is a friend of mine in Bozeman, Montana, who knew about how dogs were trained to save people from avalanches. And I got all inspired about the notion avalanche dog, the dog in the Yukon who has the reputation to save people from avalanches. So I combine the notion of Jack London meeting the real dog, whose name is Jack, who belonged to Marshall Bond at Split Up Island on the Yukon in 1896 and 1897, and that dog is real and becomes the inspiration for Buck in Call of the Wild, so that when Jack London returns to Oakland, he writes the book. He remembers the man. He remembers the dog because the dog's in the book. My theory is that as the dog goes on with his life after London leaves, the dog remembers the man. So we create this memory play back and forth between the dog thinking about the man and the dog's life and the man thinking about the dog and writing Call of the Wild. But Jack, the real dog, goes on in my book, and this is a little fictionalized. Nothing is perfect here. Goes on to become Avalanche Dog in the Yukon, saving first his master, then others, and then at the end of the book, the special save. But I can't talk about that because you have to read the book.
You
to
have
find
to
out.
Read the book, ladies
you have
and
to
gentlemen.
Read the book.
Call us and make a contribution of 10 buckaroos a month, and you will get this terrific book, Jack London's Dog.
And by the way, you can't get these kind of offers on mainstream radio or on television.
That's so true.
They won't offer you books that are meant for children as well as adults to encourage your spiritual life. You have to call in to Mary Charlotte and NPR, the people who care about what you read.
KSFR 428-1393, 428-1393. Now, here's the trade-off. On commercial radio, and we have some wonderful friends in commercial radio, and we're not knocking it as a medium, but here's what the trade-off looks like. On commercial radio, you have 15 or more minutes per hour of commercials. And on public radio, you have less than usually 3 or 4 minutes per hour, if that, sometimes on the show much less, of underwriting. And so basically, you have your brain saturated with commercials, or you don't. When you don't, when you listen to public radio KSFR, twice a year, we get on the air for a week or two and ask you to contribute. And when you contribute, you get not only a whole year's worth of public radio, but you get some wonderful gift. These books by Dirk Wales are treasures. A Lucky Dog and Penny House and Jack London's Dog. And for that $15 a month contribution, you can get all three of them, and they make wonderful gifts, and they make wonderful reading for children and adults. And particularly, Jack London's Dog, I think, is really a book that can be read by. It's a longer story, and it's a more elaborate story than the other two, and it's more about this, as much or more about the story than the illustrations. You have a new book, The Giraffe Who Walked to Paris.
Well, you know, this book brings
it's not out yet.
No, it's not. Actually, I haven't found a publisher yet, so if there's anybody out there who wants to publish a good children's book, here it is, The Giraffe Who Walked to Paris.
Now, that can't be another true story.
Ha, ha, ha.
It's a true story.
It's a true story.
Are you kidding me?
A giraffe walked from Marseille to Paris in 1827 under the direction of the director of the Zoo of Paris as a gift from the Emir of Egypt to the King of France. Now, all of this brings up this notion about how do writers get their ideas and what are writers trying to do? And you know what? I'm here to admit to you in front of Mary Charlotte and all the NPR listeners today that I'm not sure. How come all of my books seem to have a true historical notion? I don't know that. As a student at UCLA, I wrote fantasy plays.
Really?
As an adult, I write documentaries and educational films and medical films. And now I'm writing historically based books for children of all ages.
About wonderful animals.
Well, and by the way, the giraffe is the most magical animal of all. And you don't have to take my word for that. But I found this book called Zarafa by William Allen, A-L-L-I-N, and I thought this would make a fabulous book. I could write this as a 32-page children's book by concentrating on the walk from Marseille in May of 1827 to Paris. I think it took 16 weeks. I'm not sure. I keep forgetting all these hard numbers. But it's an incredible story, and it's true. And what I've tried to do is create in the book a relationship between the giraffe and the people who walk along, who are seeing the first giraffe ever to come to France. Now, there was a giraffe in Europe before him, in Italy, years before, but the French people from Marseille to Paris are seeing their first giraffe. Imagine, in the middle of your town, in the middle of southern France, a 12-foot animal, beautifully colored, huge eyes, eyelashes, eating linden leaves off your trees, walking through your town. What do the kids say? Well, the kids say they want to ride him. One boy says, "Can I sleep with the giraffe tonight?" And Atir, who is attending the giraffe, says, "Of course, mon enfant. Come." And that night, the boy comes to the stable where they've arranged in this town for the giraffe and the two handlers to sleep. And Atir draws a map of how the giraffe got from Alexandria in Egypt to Marseille. By the way, there's another even backstory to that, how the giraffe got from the middle of Africa to Alexandria. So, I mean, it's a history lesson. It's a lesson in love. It's a lesson in revelation. It's a lesson in, my God, how can something like this happen? We like these things to happen in our lives. We want wonder. We want excitement. We want extraordinary events. We live for them. Speaking, and these books take us there. I'm sorry.
Speaking of excitement, we're excited back here at Ground Central, Pledge Central.
Ground Central.
Pledge Central.
But we won't call it Pledge Zero.
We won't.
Oh, no.
Pledge
we
Central,
call
come
it.
In. This is Callaway 6-2, over.
I was up at 4:30 again. What can I tell you? Jackie Matthey. Thank you, Jackie,
thank
very
you.
Much for your
Yay.
Generous contribution
Yay,
a moment ago.
Wonderful,
and,
wonderful person and photographer.
Yeah, and John McCallum. John.
Thank you, John.
Says you do a fabulous job.
Thank you.
We knew that, but that's wonderful. And keep on rolling.
Keep on rolling.
Keep on calling, 428-1393.
And we also had somebody come and hand us 200 buckaroos in cash.
That is so nice.
Just a little while ago, and we had somebody else come and hand us a $100 check.
That is also so nice.
And
thank
we want
you very
to,
much.
We want to thank these wonderful people who support KSFR and who get it. And for those of you who also get it and just haven't picked up the phone yet to make your contribution, 428-1393. We are encouraging the monthly contribution, this fund drive, because it really works. It's something that I've been doing for years, and many, many organizations provide, and KSFR is providing it now. 428-1393. If you're calling out of area, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-5737. KSFR. Dirk Wales.
Well, now, I need for all of your viewers to know what...
You mean listeners?
Listeners. It's all the same to me. I look, when I'm watching the radio, while I'm watching you, I want all of your listeners to know what a treat it is to spend an hour talking with Mary Charlotte,
Thank you.
Of the brightest, most intelligent, interesting women in northern New Mexico. And you're lucky to have her on the radio every morning or every whenever it is.
It's every morning.
Because you don't get this on mainstream radio. You don't get this watching television. Here's an intelligent woman who's trying to bring you the best and the most interesting stuff in Santa Fe. And I can't tell you how happy I am to be here with her now.
Well, thank you so much. It means a lot to me to hear this from somebody who is as accomplished and just wonderful person as you are, Dirk Wales. And I love these books. I'm not just saying that. They're really terrific books. Of course, I am partial to dogs, as we know, and I've been called a terrierist on more than one occasion. But, you know, Jack London's Dog is a terrific book. A Lucky Dog, Oni, U.S. Rail mascot, is a terrific dog. And this other book that I hadn't even seen until yesterday called Penny House, which is a dog about a 100-year-old man and his very sweet pup. All of these can be yours. You make a contribution to KSFR. $15 a month, you get all three, or for $10 a month, you get one. And they will tell. And if you want to make just an individual contribution, they will tell you what that is when you give a call. Dirk Wales, thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to talking to you about your giraffe book when it comes out.
Well, yes, the giraffe book will be really interesting. I mean, I can't think of any little particular thing except the night that the giraffe is present at the artillery school in the middle of the south of France, where Napoleon studied as a young boy before he became the Emperor of France. And everybody is oohing and aahing over the giraffe, and the giraffe knew Napoleon.
4281393. Dirk Wales, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. Don't forget to send in your pennies and nickels and dimes, folks.
And some of you have already done this through your contributions by mail. People have gotten their little envelopes in the mail, and they have filled them out and sent us a check or sent us a credit card number, whatever. That is terrific, and we thank you for it. And for those of you who haven't or who prefer to make a telephone call, 428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. And we will delightedly, delightfully accept your contribution of any size. Orders of magnitude, greater or smaller, are okay. Hey, bring in your piggy bank if you want to do that. But the main thing is that you call and that you be part of KSFR, 428-1393. And I'm going to pass this on to the Jazz Experience, which is a terrific show. All our jazz shows are good, and they're all different. We have all these different jazz shows during the course of the day. And the DJs bring, or who, some of whom are musicians and artists themselves, bring so much knowledge and so much sense of the variety of jazz, and they all have their own tastes and their own depth of, in their own record collections. And so all of that is about to be yours. If you don't make a donation during the Radio Cafe, make a donation during jazz. 428-1393, 428-1393. The Santa Fe Radio Cafe broadcasts live from the Santa Fe Baking Company. You can reach me at the email radiocafe@ksfr.org. You can leave a message at 428-1528. We are podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. Thanks to Marilyn LeBlanc for engineering today. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team.
And you can go and see Oni yourself at the National Postal Museum in the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, across from the Washington train station. He's there in a rail car. They loved him so much. They had him stuffed. He's with us.
Oh, my goodness.
I've kissed his nose.
Oh. On that note, we're going to go now. 428-1393 is the number. Adios.